Blog Talk Radio.
Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights. Get up, stand up, stand up for your rights.
Preacher man, oh, tell me, heaven is on the earth. I know you don't know what life is really worth. It's a all that Jesus sold. After story had never been told. So now you see the light. Hey, stand up for your eyes. Come on,
get up.
This is Zenzele Shakir of Black Faith and Rights Movement. If you're just tuning in, this is our second show, and I'm trying to get Brother Muhammad in to join me into the show. All right, so welcome. Here today, we're just going to talk a little bit about some of the history, you know, a little bit of the prison rights movement, go over what the Black Progressive Prison Rights Movement is about and what we're looking for, some of the programs that are involved. So first of all, looking back at some of the history back in 1960, we worked together as a people, as an influential force in prison rights and criminal justice reform. It was the incarceration was termed as the new Jim Crow. At that time, our people were incarcerated for refusing to serve, you know, in armed forces. We were given trumped up drug charges. And in November 1970, Folsom State Prison, they instituted a work strike. They released a manifesto of demands and anti-oppression platform. This document continues to be used in strikes across the country today. Due to the Black prison rights movement during the 70s, it led to a civil suits that allowed prisons and prisoners to file complaints if their civil rights were violated. As that movement moves forward, we look at now and where we're headed in this direction. The Black Progressive Prison Rights Movement, in a nutshell, seeks to eradicate the school-to-prison pipeline. The schools have had officers within those schools to try to supposedly reduce crime in the school, but all it ended up doing was creating a system in which the school, which the children, typically Black children, would be presented with a record, and that record would then follow them and carry them into the courthouse, in which, you know, they now have a record, they have to go off, and we now are in the system. We would get cracked down for fights and things like that, that our counterparts would not have to have that same type of discipline. They might get sent home, or they might get suspended, or they might get a letter to mom or something like that, but we end up getting a catch a case over it. So that then moved us into that pipeline where we're in the system. And, you know, if you guys remember, your parents always told you first thing you need to always remember is don't get caught up in the system, right? So they got into the schools, and they found us there, and they found a way. So we're trying to work to make sure that our children don't get caught up in the system. In 2012 school year, there are 1 in 6 students in public schools, in the public school system, that are Black, but yet accounted for 1 in 3 arrests in schools. Black students are suspended 3 times more frequently than white students. Our parents are criminalized with fines and county jail time, irregardless for the reason of the truancy. So we believe we're responsible for how we react to this racial oppression and systematic oppression. You know, we're here to shut the school-to-prison pipeline and prison-industrial slave complex down. We choose to do that by studying and analyzing issues that impact and affect our community, provide solutions with actionable programs to benefit the community. So we're not looking for people to sit around and talk about what they want to do and actually get out there and make it happen. We work with others in our community. We're not going to operate within the same system that systematically, socially, and economically exploit us to this day. So in a nutshell, that basically says we're working within a Black community to make the Black community rise. Our members' religious affiliations are irrelevant, as is divisive to the community. We will not use that type of methods on ourselves. We look for different skill sets within our people in the community to provide our brothers and sisters with the best strengths that our community can provide. It doesn't matter whether you're a blue-collar or a white-collar worker. We're a collective. I truly believe that we all have something to offer. So we're looking to provide knowledge of self, correct his story, and re-educate with accurate history of our people, and looking for individuals to give time to be able to join the fight and look at what we're looking at as a movement, moving our people forward, working together within a community. We always talk about how it's difficult for organizations to make anything happen, and we believe that has problems when you start involving other people in your community issues. So we're looking for individuals to give time, no matter whether it's 20 minutes or 2 hours or whatever the case may be. It's just a matter of actually joining in and participating and giving that time. We have a lot of programs that are out there that we're looking at starting. We have the Marcus Garvey Study Group to provide education to our brothers and sisters for accountability and responsibility, and other programs as well to address poverty and drugs and illiteracy you know, lack of unity, mental health, education for professional social programs. We have Brother Muhammad, who has been working in the community and working with individuals to try to get them back into our community and giving back to the community. Brother Muhammad, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, I didn't know if I was queued in or not. Yeah, so basically I work inside the education component of the community, helping those that are reentering the community get into community college and four-year colleges if that's their will. And I wanted to address something, and I will always address it, that we are a revolutionary movement, but that revolution doesn't necessarily mean that we're in the picking up guns section of that movement. We're above ground. We don't have any underground ties, any underground thoughts and processes. There are those that have that, and it is a needed component, but that's not our function. I was just looking at something from Sister Angela Davis, and she was saying, it was in 1973, she was saying that the thing about revolution is your goals and your objectives. It's not how you get there. So for those who think that revolution is only some bloody struggle, we're the
right.
Different side of that struggle. We're the education and the societal, healing the societal ills portion of the revolution. Sisters Nzele and myself, we're more into the healing and holistic angle of this movement. So for those that are looking to do those other things, there's other organizations for you. We need people that are ready to get out here and use the apparatuses that are in place until we have our own apparatuses in place to further ourselves. So right now we're in these people country. We're using these people's facilities. So while we're still in this country and in their facilities, then we need to utilize everything they have so we can have our own. That being said, I know October 22nd is the last day for voter registration. If there's anybody out there that needs to get registered to vote that can, they need to, because as we see, you can say you don't care, and when we don't care, we get Donald Trump in there and those that are like-minded. So
right.
I know here in the Bay Area, we have a lot of candidates that are trying to affect change, and right now, the city of Oakland looks like a third world country when I ride through it every day. So we definitely need a change here. Sisters Nzele, you have anything to add to that?
Well, I was taking a look at some of the things that were going on in Sacramento and some of the programs that they're having right now. Right now they have this program. It's called AB 953. And what it does is it's a complaint for alleged racial and identity profiling. So if you're not familiar, you have the ability to be able to contact the Department of Justice if you feel as though, you know, you have been profiled in any of these situations. A lot of times we think, oh, man, you know, ain't there's nothing there for us. That just happened. Now I roll away and go home and look what happened to me. But there's actually a group of individuals out there that you can make and reserve complaints to, and they have to provide a report to the city detailing the results of all of your complaints. So you may want to look within your cities and find out, you know, what does your city have. I know here in Sacramento we have it. Reverend Ben McBride, who's a pastor, he used to be a pastor, I guess, I don't think he is now, but he and Chief Edward Medrano, which is the California police chief, so they're working together. I know Reverend Ben McBride is a brother out of Oakland, And so they're on the team for this racial identity profiling, along with some other people. But, there's things that we can do. There's things that we can get involved in. But like you said, you know, we're not out there trying to walk in the streets and create a lot of havoc and things. We're trying to actually make effective change, you know, by hook or crook. Yeah, sure. But at the same time, we're out there trying to make effective change. We're not out there trying to hold a picket sign. You're not going to find me holding a picket sign. You're going to find me talking to professionals, talking to people on the street, whatever I got to do to be able to make this change happen. So
yeah, and that's the key right there, doing whatever we have to do to make this change happen, because it can happen, and it will happen. It's just going to take a concerted effort. I just had a conversation with a Hebrew Israelite sister, and the sister got to, you know, down in, you know, my religious beliefs. And I said, you know what, sister, I'm not even mad at that. The only thing I'm mad at is that you want to put up a wall between us instead of just accepting who I am as I accept who you are, and let's work together.
Right.
You can sit here and tell me all you want to about my religious beliefs. I'm not going to change them, but I'm still your brother, and I'll still work with you. And that's what we have
people,
to do. We have to stop.
When you get pulled over, they're not going to ask you what your religion is.
No. No.
That's the bottom line,
care.
Bro. When you get pulled over, they don't give a damn what your religion is. Not at all. So how about, since they don't care, why should we care? All you really need to be is ready to move within this movement, make things happen, and be within the community. That's it, folks. You know? You have to care about what happens to us and our people.
That right there. Is Sister K there? I know Sister K has something to chime in from Texas on this about this.
Pardon? I'm right here. I haven't gone anywhere. I'm just listening. We're looking at, as this organization, as it grows, I mean, there's so much that we can do. We're focused on both ends of the pipeline, not just one. And, you know, we can affect change within the community. There are many, many variables that can encourage higher incarceration rates or higher disciplinary rates at the elementary schools. You know, things like hunger, things like homelessness, things like substance use, things like not having employment, things like mental health not being taken care of. So, you know, I encourage anybody who is thinking about it to get involved. You don't have to wait. There are things you can do on your own, you know, for anything from, you know, feeding people to bringing blankets to maybe paying a utility bill. I've been doing, you know, this work well over 30 years. So it's all what you make it. It's all on how much you want to do. It's all about, you know, if you see the need and you really feel like you want to help. And that's one thing I've never done is waited on anyone or anything. People should be out here and know all the resources available and how to get somebody to general assistance if they need it. And
that's just key, knowing that the resources are available.
Right.
A lot of people are just in the wind and they don't even know it.
Absolutely. I mean, there are organizations in just about every city that is constant for every city. And all you have to do is pick up that phone and find out what the referral process is. And in the meantime, you know, you pay attention. Like, there are certain times of the year where food pantries get very low on food. Well, if you know that, then stock up on items and supplement. You and a few others, or just do it yourself. And that's one thing we got to stop is being afraid of doing it ourselves. You know, I do a lot of work by myself. I don't ask for donations. I don't require it. I don't need it because I want to do it. If I want to, you know, cook a huge pot of whatever, I mean, I have my food handler's card, which was nothing to get. and I hand it out. You know, if I want, you know, today I went to a store and looked around for blankets and how much shoes were and just getting a general idea. So now I'm going to look up wholesale, you know. You're only limited by what you want to do. And, you know, I've talked to different people and, you know, they want to be involved because I also have a nonprofit and I have a business fund. So it makes it easier. And none of those came from donations. That's just something I took my time to do. But that's the other piece is when you're standing up, when you're doing your work, you got to be consistent. Because if the people start to count on you and you're not doing or you don't know what you're doing and you end up collapsing, then you've let the people down. You know, revolution actually means to tear down and make new or take what's in existence and radically change it. That's what revolution means. And so being a revolutionary, I aim to tear down the things I can and radically change those things that I can. And so, and that's by any means necessary, however it has to go, because this is about the people, this is about our liberation, this is about destruction of the pipeline, and so you got to be willing to make those sacrifices. You got to be willing to do what you got to do, you know, and, you know, I just think that people really aren't ready until it's time to actually get into to do what they're supposed to be doing and getting into it and actually spend time, you know. Oh, there's a lot of background noise. there's a lot that, you know, we as people can do. We can, you know, go in and volunteer in the schools. We can go to the shelters or the teen runaway centers and talk with the kids, see what it is they need, volunteer in Big Brother, Big Sister programs. We can, you know, go down to the soup kitchen. You know, there's too much we can do that will affect
That's
things.
True.
You don't have to wait. And then, again, if you don't know what's in your community, you're not going to know. And for me, if you don't know what's in your community, that's part of the problem. That makes you part of the problem. You know, because being so self-absorbed that you don't know what's in your community, you are the problem. So, and people can't be afraid, you know, you're going to be asked for your time. Yes, you're going to be asked for your money. Yes, you're going to be asked to get up and move. There you go. It's out there. You know, so, you know, when people say, oh, man, I got to do something. Oh, you want money? Then people start backpedaling. And you know what?
Yeah.
That's one of the main reasons why I do stuff by myself. You know, because I don't feel like it, because excuses are useless. Our people can't survive on excuses. They just can't. So, you know, we got to do what we can do. And if there's, you know, people like myself and you guys, and we're all doing something, even though it's three of us, hey, that's three more than it was yesterday. That's how I
That's right.
You know, I was not raised that one person can't move a mountain. I was raised that one person can move a mountain one stone at a time. That's how I was raised. I don't see how you know. But, you know, I know that there's a lot of people with a lot of excuses and a lot of rhetoric and a lot of discussion, and they're not willing to do what it takes. You know,
they want to
feel
good without the do work.
Yeah. They, you know, and the thing is they don't want to be here when you're building the house. When that house is built, they want to be inside talking about, look what we did. And it's like, you know what? No. We're going to see a lot of that. So, you know, whatever people's skill sets are, then, you know, I'm working with a young lady now who's like, well, I don't know what to do, and she's really good with kids. And I'm like, well, do you have people that need daycare and they need to work but they can't afford it? Why don't you be the daycare? Matter of fact, I'll help you. I'll buy some of the little snackies and foods and stuff like that. It'll be just like you babysitting, you know, and then you get some more money, we can get you maybe a license and all the rest and get your house set where, you know, it's accessible. But for right now, maybe you can be the babysitter for mom, you know, who has to go, or dad who's a single dad, you know, and you can do this. And Brother Tona said, I'll help you get you some extra food and snacks. Just let me know. And she was like, you know what? That sounds like a good idea. But we're going to have to baby-proof that house first. You know, we're going to definitely have to baby-proof the house. You know, but
that's true. There's situations where people are looking for work, and they just need somebody to watch their kids so they can go file an application.
Simple
stuff.
And that's it.
Yeah, there's many ways we can be service to one another.
Exactly, because I know where I was one point in time where I was managing over a family's program, and I remember there was a young brother and sister who came in for an appointment for finances, and they told them that they could not come in with their baby. And so they would have to make another appointment. And I was like, I just happened to be standing at the front desk. I came out my office. And, you know, they were, like, stressing. I'm like, what's the matter? And they're like, well, we came for this appointment, but, you know, they told us we can't bring the baby in. I'm like, give me the baby and go for your appointment. My office is like, matter of fact, walk with me, you know. Me and the baby had a blast. It gave me, the baby gave me a reason not to work. You know, I'll look for any kind of reason. And, you know, by the time they came back, we were, you know, playing and having a ball and just all the rest of that. And, you know, it got to the point where, you know, when we would have customers that came in, they would ask, you know, is it possible for Miss Kay to watch our munchkin for a little while? Absolutely, because they had no child care. You know, if we are going to be the village that helps to raise the child, that is not just rhetoric. That is something you have to do. You carry it out. And there's always an opportunity to carry things out. And that's just it. When people really don't have it in their soul to do this work, they will turn the blind eye to a very easy solution, you know. You know, if I had not watched the baby, that would have probably caused a stressor in that family. They would have probably gone home and argued all night. What do they need that for? The babies would move for an hour. End of story. Go get your finances and get that squared away. You know, we have to be what we say we are. You know, too many people talk, and that's what they do. You know, even in my office today, I get all kinds of little munchkins coming in. I got little drawings from little babies, you know, not babies, but toddlers, and all kinds of stuff. Look, mom, dad, go do what you got to do. I got the munchkins. I'm cool with that. You know, so it takes a village, then let's act like it. You know, and that's one way that unity is applied. And we have somebody who wishes to speak. Area code 248, the last four digits, 1288. Your mic is live.
Hello, this is Sincere. How you doing?
Hi, Sincere.
All right.
How you doing,
Sincere? Hey, Sister Sincere.
All right. I was wondering, because I got my vehicle running. And when I came in a little bit late. I apologize for it. Somebody was saying something about using the resources that we have. So is it okay for me to go and get a driving service, like start a business driving service under the name? I don't know exactly what I'm doing. Like you said, I'm ready to do something, but I just don't know exactly what to do.
Well, yeah, as long as you fill out all the, you know, proper forms, though, you don't have any problems. Just I don't believe the council would have any issue with you using the name.
No, not at all. And, you know, you don't have to wait for the name to necessarily start the work. I mean, if they're out there and they need help, go ahead, you know.
Well, see, one of my sister friends, my sister was a probation officer. And she couldn't do the work anymore because she saw what the system was doing firsthand. And they wanted her to be a part of it, and she just couldn't be a part of it. So she gave me to someone else who has a lot of women who are in need of transportation. to and from work in the Oakland County area. And she is the probation officer, so I will get the clients from her. The thing is, you know, like I was telling the one lady I know, Queen, I can't remember the rest of her name. But she was telling me that golly, what was she telling me? I can't remember. I just woke up, I'm sorry. But anyway, they was telling me that that I could go ahead and I could pick up and things like that, but I really don't know. See, I don't know the logistics of how to get myself legalized. So I don't think under any government penalty.
Right. We can always work with that. You know, we can kind of go into a chat later, you know, once we get into the maybe have a conference call. We can kind of discuss that over a conference call. That might be a good option.
We could do that, and because I'm sure we can facilitate the...
We can come up with a game plan, yeah.
Yeah. We could definitely do that if it's sincere.
Because, see, I work a lot. That's what I was telling the young lady. I work a lot. And I have my daughter who's supposed to be going to college. And at the moment, you know, she's not doing too much of anything. And I figured if it's women, you know, she would feel more comfortable going up in the morning, transporting them, you know, to their job. Coming to pick them back up, but the question is about the gas and stuff like that. Like, I've been working a lot of overtime, but, you know, with that overtime come my personal bills and stuff like that, so it's not leaving me much of a, I don't know what to call it, I want to say reservoir or space where I can really move like I want to move,
okay.
Because I'm on 12 mile. They're on 20 mile. You know, but the lady, the probation officer, she's also in Oakland County, and these are actually her clients, you know, and she will hook me up with their having a meeting with them and get their name, address, where they work at or where they think they want to work at, if they need their Social Security card, birth certificate, Michigan State ID, anything that they need that's going to get them to be able to get that job. Because, you know,
right.
When you first come out, you have your, if you've been in there for a long time, well, if you've been in prison, you have your you have a prison ID. I don't know if you have an Oakland County inmate ID. I don't know if you have that. I don't know how all that works because, you know, I was misplaced on my homework by having to pick up all of these hours. So I wasn't able to diligently do my homework, which I do have to get back into now that we are starting to get more staff.
Right. Okay, sis. Well, what we'll do is we'll get together during one of these conference calls and see if we can get that going for you and figure out how we can arrange everything.
Okay.
So, Sister Zenzele, we got an event coming up, the Black Panther Party celebration next Saturday.
Yes, we do. I'm looking forward
to
it. Do you know anything about it? And
well,
that you can share.
I'll probably be in contact with Comrade. Bobby Seale sometime this week and see what they've got playing if I can get a hold to him because he's so busy. But anybody in the area of Oakland, it'll be downtown. Everybody's welcome.
Okay.
I believe we'll do a live feed from there, Sisters in Zele.
Okay.
I think we'll go live.
All
that
right.
Way we can broadcast it. And those that can't be there in person, they can be there in spirit.
All right. Sounds good.
Sister K.
You have someone in the queue, area code 337, last 4-4-6-2-5. Your mic is live.
Black Power, this is William X.
Black
My apologies
Power.
For being late. Yeah, well, first I want to touch on the sister's comment about the transportation services, because that was actually one of the programs that the Black Panthers had in place. I think may be documented in David Hillier's book on how to go about setting that up, you know, and I mean, it's not that hard to do it. If you go in taxi service wise, you have to get a license for your radio frequency, which is like $65. But there are panels that you can use freely. You know, if you had a taxi service in the area, they allocate you so many channels that you can use freely. But going a little further, if you're a business, you know, you have to pay, like, for your own space, so to speak, your own frequency, so no one else can use it. But it's what a lot of taxi cab companies use, but you can get by without having to do it because they have so many channels that you can use freely. You know, it's almost like TV channels, but it's for other purposes, you know, like security, taxi businesses. You know, local trucking businesses use some of those channels as well, but a lot of them are free. But you can pay for your own channel so no one else can use it as well.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a few things. I mean, I heard the brother say earlier, this is their country and we use their facilities. Yeah. Well, we can, and there's nothing wrong with that, but, you know, our ancestors built this country. So,
you were,
oh, yeah.
Sorry, definitely that.
Yeah.
But all the apparatus and structure is theirs. So,
yeah.
What I meant by that is we use all their infrastructure until we build our own.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Because we eventually have to have our own.
Yeah, and they can have this stinking place like Dick Gregory called it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know, I mean, the biggest thing that I see, like Elder Shakur mentioned, there's gaps here and there, and I think it's a lack of knowledge and information inside of the community, you know, like there's a disconnect from the programs that's available and how they can be used and implemented in the communities.
Yeah.
You know, and there's not enough of us out there that's looking for this information and trying to implement it to better our situation. You know,
Yeah, that good brother, and especially with our younger brothers, they're so enamored with all the chemicals that they're ingesting in their bodies.
Yeah.
That, oh man, it the health can be right in their face. I've led several of them to the health, and they'll go the first time, and then the second time what happened? Oh man. I went and got a bag of that stuff, and you know
that was it, huh?
Yeah. We're fighting an uphill battle, but it's a fight that we can win. We will win it. I'm confident of that. But there's gonna be a lot of casualties.
And we can't let you know.
Mentally
and
physically.
You gotta remember, you can't pull everybody. Everybody can't come. Okay, you know.
And those coons and those buffoonery field people, they definitely don't need to come. They're not going to come.
No, because all they're going to do is hold it back. It's not going to be difficult to see who it is, you know?
Yes, sir. But all those that are conscious, all we have to do is just keep out there, keep going and keep going and keep pushing and put one foot in front of the other. You know, and get
and
back
Sister
to
K has such a good
not,
point
not
earlier,
being scared
you know?
Of our children. These young brothers out here, they still are children.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so many of them,
sure.
their faces are shocked when they see me, and when they see me, my face lights up, and I, hey, little brother, because they missed it. They haven't experienced that. I know coming up here in the Bay Area, I grew up around nothing but Panthers, so I remember nothing but the fist pump. Hey, young blood, you know, as soon as they saw me.
Yeah.
So that's one way we can get back into reaching them is just letting them know that we as the elders care about them by just speaking to them.
That's true.
Yeah, there's many approaches to this thing, you know.
Yeah. And they're all good approaches. We're gonna have to use every tool in our toolbox to win this one.
And that's what we were talking about earlier when we were talking about different skill sets. Everybody has different skill sets that they can bring to the table.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely.
Everybody has different ideas. It's a collective information. It's not just one way of doing things.
Yeah, there's no patent to this. But it's all in our DNA, what we need to do, because it's ingrained from my ancestors. It's been beaten into us. That drum has been beaten into us.
Mm-hmm.
Those of us who are awoke and conscious, we know it. We wake up. We just know it. We just know what has to be done.
It's just a matter of finding like-minded individuals that's ready to do the same kind of work.
That right there. And all we have to do is keep beating our drum, and that sound is going to and resonate in their DNA, and they're going to activate, and somebody else is going to activate. And before you know
it's
it,
not a rush. It's not a race that we're fighting. You know, like Sister K said, you know, one stone at a time. It's just a matter of making it move forward.
Well, not to age myself, I know everybody used to watch that cartoon with the tortoise and the hare, and the hare never won. The hare tried everything he could to beat that poor little tortoise. That tortoise just be going right along. He threw dynamite at him and everything he could.
You know?
And at the end of the race,
that's
tortoise...
That's a good example of integration, you know? People got tired of things not moving as fast as they wanted it to move. So what did they do? They allowed other individuals to come in and say, help me out, help me out, help me out. I want to make this move forward quicker, faster. So.
Yeah, and integrated into a burning house.
Yeah, we don't need it. We do not need it. Right now, we need to use what we have, use what the system provides at the moment until we get our own. Simple as that.
That's right.
So it's a matter of referring people to those options that are out there, and learning from those options and being able to create our own options.
Yes, that part right there. Brother Ben, you got anything else for us? You still with us?
Yeah, I'm still here. No, I don't have anything else. I just want to.
Oh, you've got something in that arsenal of yours, brother.
I got all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know, I mean,
brother, where are you located at?
From the homeschooling. I'm out of Louisiana, but I'm working in Louisiana, and basically I have comrades across the southern region, from Florida to California. You know, so, but my main work is done in Louisiana and Texas.
Okay.
Yeah, I frequented Plaquemine. I used to be in West Baton Rouge Parish myself, so I'm familiar with the area.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, but, you know, there's several different programs, you know. Whether you want to do the homeschooling, there's programs out there for that. If you want to go the Islamic route, you know, I have whole curriculums from kindergarten to 12th grade. I mean, there's so many programs out there, but everybody's not on the same page as far as the community is concerned, you know. So you have to, I found each different little section of one community could have 10, 20 different issues, you know. So,
yeah.
But you don't know those issues unless you go inside of the communities and talk to the people, because one community's problems is going to differ than the next community's
absolutely
problems.
Absolutely.
We all basically have some of the same problems, but you
right.
know, they differ. They tend to differ depending on what area you're in, what region you're in, what resources are available in that area. You know, it's the main problem is it's a disconnect from the community to what's available. And the thing, a lot of times I find the things that are available, the people have no clue that they're there, you know, until you get out and you start having, you know, community meetings and talking to people, then, you know, the knowledge is shared, the information is shared, something can be done. But as long as there's a lack of information, you got a lack of a whole lot of other things. It's like a ripple effect, you know. As long as you keep the people ignorant and unaware of their resources, they'll never use them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's it. You know, I work in the medical / mental health side. So for me, I see individuals that are caught up in a different kind of system. You know, it's not necessarily the school, the pipeline, but it's more of access to care. You know, and sometimes we start moving into criminal activity because of the lack of access to care. Or we start getting into drugs because of the lack of access to care. So that's sort of what I see. I have to work with individuals within the community in that arena to try to address those issues as well.
Yeah, and you know, I've been working with Conscious Voices, the Sisters of Conscious Voices here in Alameda County to get that integrated mental health and preventive health center for the African Americans here. And we're still working on that. We've got some more planning sessions going, because I really see it that I'm on the street so much now in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
The mental health issue with the blacks and especially in Oakland where I'm at is mm-hmm. just it's astounding. I mean, I'm born and raised here, so I mean,
you know,
I can pass
in my field,
I can pass at
I
least
work,
50 to 75 homeless, mentally ill people daily. And I mean, not just a little off. I mean, totally off.
Yes.
And it's like, I know that there's some plan that they put in place to enhance this mental illness in our community, because it's just too widespread. And it's mostly black males. You see some mm-hmm. females, but it's mostly black males.
Mm-hmm.
That are just there. I mean, they are totally gone.
You know, honestly, what I have found is a lot of black males, it's opioid induced, and then that opioid induced due to, let's say, trauma, pain, or things like that. We're over medicated as a community, and then we also look at street drugs as well as to medicate ourselves. Another thing, too, is you have to look at the fact that in our community, we don't address our own psychological issues. We try to keep it in-house. And we keep it in-house by subsiding that pain with alcohol or drugs or things like that. me personally, I work in a hospital setting and I work in acute care. So I work with individuals that come back from Iraq or different war settings, or I work with the elderly. So I work with post-traumatic stress. I work with TBI, traumatic brain injury, and all of those different things. So we have a lot of people out here that are suffering and has nothing to do with any kind of criminal activity whatsoever. And the system is not built for them. And there's no families there to take them in, so they end up on the streets. The families are done with them. They wash their hands. They can't handle it.
Well, there's a lot. You know, there's a lot to that piece.
Yeah, there is. It's a lot of components involved.
Yeah, there. You know, and I say that because I am prior military, and I work with the military. I see the TBI, the MTBI, I see the PTSD, I see the bipolar, I see all of that. You know, there's a lot of misdiagnosis. You know, one of the biggest concerns is when they diagnose PTSD and put bipolar with it. Those are contraindicated. You can't, I don't think our communities even know how to treat them properly. They just don't know. And, you know, that's one of the reasons why I left behavioral health, because I was in the substance abuse area. It's because there was such a lack of information. And the other part is you can't help somebody and then put them back in the same environment that produced them in the beginning. And so when you look at it, on top of that, me being a veteran, the Affordable Care Act, which is misnamed as Obamacare, that particular 850-plus page act, health care act, covered veterans, covered mental health, covered pre-existing, covered general health of everyone. And so for a minute, we as veterans saw it get a little bit better, but now it's being dismantled. We might as well be ready to see even worse, because there are things that the doctors had to do, that were required to do. There were consultations, there was preventive care. There was a lot in it. I actually have that entire act, and I read it from one page to the end. And that's what I mean about, you know, us in as in helping. You know, if we're going to do this thing, we got to look at what was in place and what they're taking away, and be aware of it and how it impacts, so that we can come up with different methods of support. You know, I know a lot of TBI and PTSD folks, we talk on a regular basis. I check with them. I'm no longer, you know, a clinician, but I still make sure that I can talk with them. I've intervened on suicidal ideations and gestures. I mean, it's crazy, because between the behavior health, the technology, the social ills, those are all connected. And we all got to get spun up on all of it. You know, we can have specialties, but we need to be spun up on a whole lot more than just our pipeline, because they're all connected. And in order to fight this, we have to fight on as many as many platforms as they have been inundating us with. You know, so I know, like, for myself and those around me, we study the technology, the human-computer interaction. We study the programming. I even listen to the music and how it alters brain waves and brain patterns, and how certain loud music can actually encourage TBI and burnout tissues, you know, in the brain that don't regenerate. I mean, I look at all that, because that also impacts behavior. And if it's a child and they're young enough, a lot of those certain frequencies and vibes, when they impact the brain, it's often on the aggression center. They can't control themselves. Well, see, we don't link all that together. We don't, because we're in our own pipeline. That's what we got to stop doing, because they're not doing that. They're playing chess. When you do pipeline, you're playing checkers. That's checkers.
You're absolutely right about that.
I play chess. You know, I play chess. I look you know, 3, 4, 5, 12 steps ahead, because that's how they're playing. And if you just stay in your own lane, you're playing checkers. That's just how it goes. We don't have time for that. We got to learn and tap on someone's shoulder. Hey, teach me this so I can be better with this. Or teach me this. I'm always tapping people on the shoulder, asking questions. I ain't got no shame in my game in asking that, you know. And it helps. You know, I posted today, you know, all the areas that I'm involved in. Like I said, between behavior health, social ills, and technology, those are my three, and they are so interactive, it's not even funny. So, I mean, I'm getting ready to add some more of the arts, you know, because a lot of that is because, well, when you look at it, art is abstract thinking. It's not concrete thinking. When the schools get rid of art and music and only teach you concrete thinking, you need abstract thinking to help balance you out. We're not getting the balance, and we're seeing the exact result of all that. You know, now all you got to do now is take away recess, and you're going to have some pent-up, non-creative thinking children. You're asking for trouble. And that's very – all you got to do is follow the psychology behind it and follow,
And then on top of that, to chime in, Sister K, they're going to make the school fights a felony now.
Yep. They know what they're doing. Eliminate the things that make the children creative and keep their attention all whack. If they're all over the place because there's no release. There's no release. They have to have it. You know, you have – I've met parents talking about he's running all around. What? That's he supposed to do. He's a kid. You know, then you take this child, you done took art, you done took music, you done took recess. Okay, then they go home. The parent don't feel like it because they tired, and all they do is sit on the couch and yell. What do you think that's going to turn out to? That is a recipe for entering into that pipeline straight to the incarceration system. It's amazing how it's all connected. That's why I said we got to play chess. That's how you play chess. You look at the whole thing. But again,
this pipeline is like an octopus. It's not just one line. You know, it has a bunch of different pipelines connected to one huge one, you know. Just like you mentioned the music, you know, and people think, you know, music is supposed to be tuned to 440 hertz. Well, the truth of the matter is 440 hertz is not pure sound. You know, if you studied music, you know that pure sound is 432 hertz, you know. So the sound our children are listening to now is not even pure sound. You know, it has noise in it with all the subliminal stuff embedded in the music. And, you know, that's along the lines of the hip-hop recipe, you know. One of the things is you got to get back to real music, you know.
Yeah.
We have to get back to real art and things of that nature. I mean, but back to what I said earlier, you know, that lack of information and lack of knowledge plays a big part in all of that.
And if you look at that, when you mentioned the megahertz and things of that nature, they know how many megahertz it is to go ahead and zap your brain. They know how to do that part. So they know what it takes to heal it. That's the saying. There's always two sides, so they know what they're doing, and so we have to learn how to fight that. The biggest thing is I think a lot of us are just lazy. Honestly, I think it's just lazy. We're so comfortable in this enslavement that we think it's okay. We can deal with a couple killings here and there. It's not that important. And then you got the other side, well, it ain't my family. And that's the problem. We got to bring those two sides up because we're not going to be able to handle it all by ourselves. It's not going to happen. You know, I'm not even going to mention, you know, the Oreos. I'm not even touching them. It's just our people, they don't think it's a state of emergency. You know, it's not to them. We know it is, you know. And it was just so weird to see the presidential alert on a cell phone. Even my watch got the alert. I said, this is bull. This is nonsense. You know, they're playing. I was like, what are y'all up to now because, again, they're playing chess. There are so many moves ahead of us. And it's just like, okay, you know, we got to get our acts together. But you can't motivate people who don't want to be motivated.
But it will activate those who need that little extra. Because there's they're just waiting on some direction, and all they have to do is contact us, and we can give them some direction.
Absolutely.
Well, I think people know how to get to direction. They still don't want to do it.
Yeah.
We can't keep waiting for a leader. We are the leaders.
That's it.
You know.
Each one of us is a leader.
Every single one. We are a leader. I saw a meme today, and it said, school never taught them how to think critically, how to manage failure, how to read a financial statement, all these things. And I'm saying, what the hell school did you go to? Because I got all that. You know, why didn't you get that? You know, I hear the rhetoric, oh, well, when you go to school, you go to school to learn how to work for someone. Well, then that tells me you haven't paid attention there either, because they teach you all the tools you need to go to work for yourself, too. You have a choice. So, it's, you know, what people do with it, it's almost like the easy path. But the easy path is going to get us jammed up. Ooh, that's my puppy. Sorry, y'all.
We're on the radio, so we won't talk about that 300-pound puppy. Sister K.
He is not 300 pounds, thank you.
That baby pony you got.
Right, look, leave my pony alone. Leave it alone. Y'all going too far now.
That bark right there is just not the bark of a puppy. So
that's a puppy.
Yeah, but you know, like I'm gonna keep saying, all we have to do is keep putting one foot in front of the other. Because it's like a talk I'm doing next week on breaking the stereotypes. It's an epiphany that I had when I was on the yard locked down when so many of the young brothers would come up to me and, you know, tell me about things that they saw in the past that they tried to emulate. So I had the epiphany. I said, if I do the right thing, and I make that look cool too, because you got to make it look cool. I mean, because when the Panthers first started, they looked cool with those black leather caps. I mean, coats and the berets. So, again, if we make this look all fuddy duddy and it's not fun, and because helping your people is fun, being out in the community is fun. Mm-hmm. So if we make doing the right thing look profitable, because it is profitable too, and look good, we can show them how to make some money, how not to have to worry about the police, and not have to worry about looking over their shoulder for the enemy, then we can affect change. But it takes us being out in the community, showing them by doing, like Sister King is always doing.
I'm trying. I'm trying.
No, you're doing.
I call myself trying because if I'm doing, I would feel more successful at it. But little pieces at a time, you know.
Little at a time.
Hanging out with the students. We recently had a conversation about the N-word. It was a great, the way it went down, it was done really nice. It was, Jay-Z's song with the cartoon. So that played the whole thing. And then the question, you know, that was presented was, how do you feel about the N-word? Are you okay with people calling the N-word? Why or why not?
Yeah.
And, you know, me as a seasoned person, just kind of listening to what the 20s and 30s had to say about it. It was just hearing their perspective on it. You had everything from it's okay to double standards to if I don't say it, I'm going to have a problem. just, you know, I never even considered that last piece. You know, and I wasn't going to say anything. I was going to keep quiet and just kind of listen and take it all in. You know, and, mm-hmm. and I finally decided, let me go ahead and tell them what I know about that word, what that word meant to my generation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went through it, you know, just sharing a small piece. I've actually held the shackles to my relatives. Matter of fact, I cut my finger on it. I've actually held a bill of sale for one of my relatives, you know,
mm-hmm.
and I learned that Native Americans were enslaved and sold on the auction block just like blacks were. That was my very
mm-hmm.
first F in class because they told us only black people were enslaved. I'm looking at the paper, and I'm holding his headdress. So I got an F on that, but my great-grandmother, she took care of that, you know, because their history was wrong. It was, you know,
mm-hmm.
it was not unusual for Native Americans to marry, you know, Africans. And the broom they jumped, her wedding sackcloth, potato sackcloth, whatever you want to call it. So I got to see all that firsthand. You know, back in the day, I was growing up, I'm from the New York, New Jersey area. You didn't call nobody the N-word. You get your face bashed in. Okay?
Yeah, that part.
The N-word meant you were ignorant and subhuman. That's what it meant. You know, our brothers worked hard because they were constantly called boy. My grandmother scrubbed floors, you know, for old Jewish women and all the rest, and put up with all that ridicule. So the N-word or the B-word or the H word, you get shot calling somebody that. You know, there is nothing glorious about that. And so, you know, talking to them and letting them see it, they were just like, we didn't know. And I'm like, you can't keep repurposing something that already had a purpose. You know, that there is nothing, no term of endearment like that. And that's because you don't know the history. And so I've been hanging out with these youth all weekend so far. I'll see them tomorrow, too. And they apologize for using the word. And I'm like, no, baby, don't apologize. I understand it. This is the crazy world that you grew up in.
Yeah.
And so as long as you respect me and I respect you, we're good. Even if you disrespect me, I'm still going to respect you because I'm your elder. You're supposed to make mistakes, you know? And so, and talking with them, now they done talk to some friends. You know, them friends
mm-hmm.
are showing, they, some of the friends showed up today, and they were like, hi, I wanted to meet you, blah, 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 blah. You know, they know, you know, who I am. They know what I am. And they were just like, oh, my goodness, we thought you guys, you know, in the 60s, y'all were dead. No, we're here. We're here.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
We're still fighting. You know, my oath to them, and I vow to them to mentor them and protect them by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And they vow to me, because they can move faster, that they will work in the community and help me out, be my arms, be my legs, be my feet. You know, so that's the deal that we have. And it's, we got to do the work, and the kids will do it. But, you know, I constantly hear that the children ain't listening. But maybe it's not they're not listening. It's just that they can tell BS or you ain't saying nothing. They want to hear.
That part right there. Because
you know,
I like you, you know, I'm back in college and my English professor is really into social justice. So one of the books that we're doing, where we're working on right now, is called Punished by a Hispanic brother.
Mm-hmm.
And we got into the whole social justice reform just Thursday. And I had to class for about 15 minutes myself. And because the professor said, well, we got Brother Abdul back here, Abdul Muhammad. He's in the field. He works with you. And the afterwards, so many of those kids came up to me and was like, wow, I thought
mm-hmm.
that the panel, you know, I thought those people were gone. And I thought, I'm like, no, I'm like, we may took on different forms or whatever, but we're still here and we're still fighting for you.
Mm-hmm. And it's cool because, you know, here we brought down Aaron Dixon. We brought in Angela Davis. I'm sure we're going to bring in some more. But, you know, the city turned out to hear, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, tomorrow we're putting on something, and it's the Black Klansman. This ought to be interesting. And we're going to talk about racism and its impact in our communities. And we're looking at everything from medical to education to why Flint still got messed up water. You know, we're looking at the whole thing. And not only looking at it, but we're looking at solutions. And that's why I love, you know, these types of summits, because it's not just identifying. You know, we're even going to talk about the fancy name for racism called microaggression. You know, that's a cute little term, but it's still racist. You know, and we're going to be addressing that. This is going to be an interesting conversation. You know, the youth have already indicated that they were coming because they got questions. I was like, oh, Lord, here we go. You know, I can see this coming. But you know what? This is what they need. This is, you know, how they need it. I mean, they've even asked me if I knew of any people that were incarcerated because they want to understand for real what it's about, not just mess in the book that they learned in their crim justice class. And I was like, yeah, I got that. You know, I can look you up with that one. So, you know, these are things they want to know because they already realize that they are being lied to. They know they're being lied to. They want to understand the real pieces. They want to, how much work do we have to do? Tell us where the problems are and let us figure it out. Help us get the tools to figure it out. I'm game with them 100%. So, you know, it can only get better from here. There are several gang members here. I'm considered mom, and we all work together when I have a community project. And, you know, I understand their rules. They understand mine. And we all get along. So it's all, like I said, it's all, do you have something to say? And what you say, does it matter? Someone's got some serious background. Serious. You know, and the behavioral health piece is definitely touched on. I've met so many young people that have thought about ending their lives because they can't find work, et cetera, et cetera. The families are struggling. So, you know, I got some work cut out for me, but it's not something that I can't do. A lot of the elders that are here in this particular city are like, you know what, these are only problems because you choose to focus on them. That's their mindset. And I'm just like, wow. So it's going to happen. Like I said, even if I have to do it by myself, it's fine. It's fine. You know, but I'm going to keep stepping. It's going to happen. So
yeah,
we got work, and I'm not afraid of hard work. That's for sure.
No, we definitely know you're not afraid of hard work, Sister K.
I'm gonna bring y'all with me.
If you didn't have 10 projects going at once, you wouldn't be all right. And that's why we love you.
I'm doing. I've been behaving. I'm good. I'm been behaving. Something like that.
Well, Sister Zenzela, you've been quiet over there for quite some time. I know you've had time to gather a thought or two for us.
No, I'm good. No, I'm good.
Okay. Okay, that wasn't even cool, but okay.
I'm sorry.
She's just chilling. She's chilling.
I'm just listening.
Yeah. We got work.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. No doubt. Okay, it got real quiet here. Everybody okay?
Yeah, I had an incoming call that I got it. I'm gonna ignore it, but I gotta take care of it as soon as we get off the air. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's why I looked and saw who it was. I'm like, oh, I gotta call him back. So, yeah. So, we're gonna keep reiterating the work is there. We're here, and we just got to keep pressing forward.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, one person, one project at a time. So
you
that's
can locate
all we can
us
do.
On Facebook for the Black Progressive Prison Movement for the Chronicles. And take a look at that Facebook page. Reach out to us. Learn more about it.
And
Muhammad, you have anything else you want to add?
No, the only thing I want to add is just keep working, keep fighting, and keep loving.
That's it.
That's it. Sister K?
All right.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
I'm good, too. So with that, we can wrap up another episode of this radio show that we're piecing together each week. And it's only going to get better. And we love the community.
And I appreciate the brother coming in from Louisiana, sharing some
ideas. We definitely appreciate him.
Perspectives. Yes.
Yes.
So,
all right. Look forward to hearing from everybody.
I'm always
week.
Here. I never talk. But I'm always here.
Well, since you broke the ice, we won't have none of that never talking no more, good brother. We always going to look forward for you chiming in.
Yes, sir. That's not a problem.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love you, brother. And,
If you're not already on there.
Okay.
That's it.
All right.
All right, good night, everybody. See you next week.
See you
good
next
night.
Week. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.